Today we celebrate the mystical supper. This event is often referred to as the Last Supper. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's from a historical standpoint, it was the Last Supper Jesus had with his disciples. But theologically, we understand this to be the mystical supper. The supper which continues even until today. Every time we celebrate the divine liturgy, every time we as Christians gather together to remember our Lord and what He did and receive His body and blood, we participate mystically in His mystical supper, that Last Supper. But why is it so important that we receive His body and blood? Why did Jesus give us His body and blood? The reading tonight gave us a number of hints. While He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, we heard Him say, "If this cup can pass from before me, O Father, but thy will be done." Three times He said this. People often hear this and think, it's as if Jesus is afraid to die. Well, that's right. Jesus has a real human nature. And that is the answer to why Jesus gave us His body and blood. Man was not designed to die. Death is ugly. We can speak of it nicely and say, you know, you're at a funeral, oh, he was a nice man, and oh, now he's in a better place. But when you look into the face of your loved one, your father, your mother, your sibling, and tragically sometimes your own child, and you kiss the cold skin of that dead body before they close the coffin, and you hear the soil fall onto the coffin, you know that there is something wrong. Death may be very common, but it's not normal. It is not part of our nature. God did not design us to die. He designed us to live forever. And that was His plan. He drew us from the murky waters and blew into our nostrils the breath of life. And He offered to us the fruit of the trees of the garden, most importantly, the tree of life. The intention was that we would live forever there in the garden with God. He is our Heavenly Father, and we as His children. Can you imagine something more beautiful? Anyone here like to see a hummingbird? Or to smell a flower? Is there anyone here who does not like to see beautiful green grass? Is there anyone here who prefers reinforced concrete? No. We were designed for that place. And that's why we yearn for it. You know the rest of the story of what happened. Man unfortunately ate of the tree of which he was not supposed to eat. He turned the creature into an idol. He worshipped this fruit of the tree of knowledge. God had warned him that this tree was dangerous for him. You might say, why did God give a dangerous tree in the garden? Well, we have many things that are dangerous in our world that are good. Your car that you use to drive here is very good, but very dangerous in the wrong hands. When I'm near a street and my child is playing with a ball, I'm not going to allow the child to run out in the street to get the ball. That is, the ball is good, the street is good, but this is a dangerous situation. Should we eliminate cars and streets and knives and fire, anything that is dangerous for some people? No. We learn how to use them. And so as St. Ephraim the Syrian said, God would have allowed eventually Adam to have eaten of the tree of knowledge when things were in proper order, when he had grown up. Just like when your child gets old enough, you allow them to do things you didn't allow when they were kids. You finally let them use a knife in the kitchen and turn on the stove and things like that. But man's passions were disordered just like a child and sought for the thing which he had been forbidden, and he found nothing but death. He thought he would find joy and happiness and fulfillment. He thought he would find life, and rather he found death. And isn't this what sin is all about? Isn't all sin the same sin? Don't we reach out for something in our lives and think there we will find happiness and joy? But like Adam and Eve in the garden, we reached out for that fruit every time we sin, and we find nothing. We don't find the happiness and the fulfillment, the joy we thought we would have. God sent them forth from the garden, lest they would eat of the tree of life now in this state. Adam and Eve had separated themselves from God. They had turned away from their source of life, and they had not repented of their sin. You may recall that God was able to get them to eventually confess what they had done. But there was no repentance there. Confession of what you've done is very different from repentance. And so they were cast forth from the garden, lest they would eat of the tree of life now in this state, and live forever in their bodies while they were spiritually dead to God. God is their loving Father, and He would not allow that. Just as you might have seen your child make a dangerous mistake in the kitchen, send them out, lest they do something worse. Right? They might burn themselves with some oil, and then there's the chopping knife next. Out of the kitchen. So God sent them out of the kitchen, sent them out of the garden, until He could bring them to repentance, until He could restore their relationship to Him. And then He could give them of the tree of life to eat and live forever. And you know of the rest of salvation history. We do not have time to talk about it. We've heard about it in the readings all through Great Lent. Why is that? Because the church in her wisdom has been preparing the catechumens, that is, those preparing for baptism, for 40 days so that they could be baptized and chrismated and receive His life-giving body and blood on Holy Pascha. Jesus came to show us what Adam could be. A man glorified with the power of God. God became man to show us that man could be like God. But what did we do with Him? What did the Jews do with Him? They betrayed Him. He wasn't the kind of Messiah that they were looking for. They handed Him over to lawless men, that is, men who unclean, the Gentiles, the Romans, and they crucified Him and put Him to death. But God raised Him from the dead. Why is that? Why did God raise Him from the dead? For many people, the reception of the body and blood of Jesus, or even the resurrection of Jesus, doesn't really make a lot of sense. Oh, that's nice, He rose from the dead. Oh, that's nice, He gives us His body and blood. But why? What does it mean? The answer is found in our reading tonight. Jesus gave us His body and blood. He said a year earlier at the Passover in Capernaum in the synagogue, "He who eats My flesh and drinks My blood has life in him, and I will raise him on the last day." I will raise Him on the last day. This is why Jesus came. Many people think Jesus came to die. No, Jesus came to live. Jesus came to live and to give us life and to give it in abundance. Jesus came to rise from the dead so that we might too. after having been refashioned from the murky waters of creation in the baptismal font, after having had the breath of life blown into our nostrils again in holy chrismation, after having received His body and blood that is the fruit of the tree of life, we may then rise from the dead when He returns. And just as Adam, that day when he ate, as God said, in the day you eat of it, you will die. On the day you are baptized, chrismated, and receive His body and blood, you are raised to newness of life, as St. Paul says. But just as the physical death of Adam was delayed, that death being the result of his spiritual death on the day he ate of that fruit. On that day that you are separated from God, when Adam found only death, we now in baptism, chrismation, and Eucharist find life. And that spiritual life given to us in baptism, chrismation, and the Holy Eucharist gives our bodies the power to rise from the dead when He returns. This is the good news. This is the good news. This is the gospel that the apostles went out and proclaimed, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And so you can be too. We will celebrate that glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives life to our own bodies in a few days. To Him be glory with His eternal Father and His all-holy life-giving Spirit, both now and ever, unto ages of ages. Amen.